I have a confession to make. My understanding of standards has shifted a few times throughout my career. I started my career in a small school where I was the only teacher of my classes. I depended on my state standards to help me figure out what to teach. I had learned a lot about how to teach in college, but really not what. And I was uncomfortable with the idea that me, a 23-year-old, was to be the master decider of what students need to know. Not long after the Common Core came out, I had developed the confidence and experience to feel like I could look at those standards that were developed without me and think, those are so out of touch. My students can't do those things. And I dismissed them. Somewhere along the line, I had decided that I, a 28-year-old white woman, knew what everyone needed to know. The more experience I gained, the more humble I became. There were things I knew I didn't know, where I wasn't getting the results I longed to see. I heard at the right moment that my students weren't supposed to already be able to do the standards. I was supposed to believe that they could learn them and that I could teach them. Standards have long been used as a tool for separating people and creating inequity, as well as creating commonalities for equity, as is the case in universal design for restrooms for people with disabilities. Standardizing restroom expectations for them opened access. In this section, we'll explore how we can maximize the benefits of standards while minimizing potential harm. Standards alignment is the progression and balance of standards taught in your curriculum. It's ensuring coverage while also considering which standards matter most to be covered in depth. Standards alignment matters for several reasons. It helps you check yourself against bias for sacred units that you keep even though they're not a part of the standards, or least favorite units that you shy away from, even though they're important to be taught. It supports cohesion as the year gets busy. Both you and students can find the essential elements if they have been established in the foundation. So even when things start to try to interrupt what's most important, you and them have something to hold on to. It also helps ensure that students get equitable preparation for external work, like other classes or standardized tests. Even if you don't like standardized tests, we cannot, from a place of privilege as college graduates, decide for students that the tests don't matter. External standards help us connect with other teachers. Having a roadmap together helps us do collective work, which benefits our teachers, who get more teachers planning for them, and ourselves, who get re-energized in what can be an isolating field. If your district has an aligned curriculum, use it. The original source will probably be overstuffed, so the lesson plan in this course will help you screen through it all and see what parts contain the most leverage. If you don't have access to an aligned curriculum, seek out an OER curriculum. OER stands for Open Educational Resources. These are free resources. Just be sure to look at reviews. You can find them by searching online. Both of these formats have limitations, especially when it comes to text representation or cohesion with your local practices. I have also rigged my own aligned curriculum by taking the standard sequence I had access to and grafting it onto new texts. This helped me know that I had coverage without planning it myself and making my head explode, while honoring my value of rich and relevant text opportunities for students. It doesn't matter just what the standards are, but how they are interpreted and applied in the classroom. In interpreting the standards, I can look for areas where they may be biased, because nothing's perfect, and find an interpretation that honors the spirit of equity. This most often comes up with standards around what's called standard English. Again, pretending that there is no language of power doesn't help students navigate our current world. At the same time, there are many forms of English, and all of them have standards. So to elevate one at the expense of others limits our students from developing a comprehensive understanding of language. Standards interpretation can also help protect our expectations. Sometimes students may come in seeming as if they have never learned something before, but in consulting the standards, which in the case of the Common Core spiral a lot, you may see that the students have had previous exposure. This awareness helps us with that ongoing balance between meeting students where they are and helping them get where they are going. Some will advocate for unpacking the standards using complex annotations, circling verbs, underlining nouns, and so forth. A lot of this, which could yield good results, feels like busy work to me. I have students today that I want to be ready to teach. I use comparative analysis most frequently, looking at my target standard side by side with the year before and the year after. I look at what's new and what's repeated to uncover which learning is truly fresh and what may just be being approached with a more complex text. If I run into an issue where I truly don't understand what the standard is asking, I consult my favorite resources. There's tons online, or meet with some colleagues to talk it through. So here's an example for comparative analysis. I've taken the first standard of the core for reading literature, and I've got grades 7 through 12 represented. And what I did was I underlined the parts that were different from the year before. This helps me know what I'm truly supposed to be teaching. I used to look at this standard about citing evidence and just be like, oh, I'm supposed to teach the kids to cite evidence. Do it. Put evidence in it, kids. But then when I got into it, I'm like, oh, that's not what it says at all. So in seventh grade, that's what it says. Do it. Find a few pieces. In eighth grade, the learning is actually, did you find the most strong part pieces of evidence? So it's about assessing evidence for strength. So I could even give the kids a ton of evidence and just have them be looking for strength. Which of these pieces is the strongest before I have them then try to find the strongest on their own. In ninth grade, it's not just strong, which is a given because it was taught in eighth grade. Might require reteaching, of course, but and thorough. So kind of that question of how much is enough, and don't we get that question a lot? So helping students know for themselves when they have thoroughly defended a viewpoint, that's the new learning. And then in 11th and 12th grade, it's really about including where the text leaves things uncertain. So for example, I'm going to be asking more questions that force kids into the inferential pieces of the text, the ambiguous pieces of the text, because then it's like, okay, so I have to do a little more triangulation work to prove what I'm trying to prove. So you can see that these do get more complex over time and they build. But that lets me know what I'm really supposed to spend the bulk of my time teaching, and then I can go back as needed. There are lots of roads, but only one New York City. New York City is the standard, but there are lots of roads to get there. Take out your worksheet. It is time to reflect. There are three questions here. We've got, are there any standards you don't think you can teach students to do? Just ones that you're like, I don't even know what it's asking, or I don't think students can do it. Just note those because that'll be great to come back as you continue the work of this course to see if your mindset's changing, if you get ideas that are going to help you and energize you for teaching. Two, how aligned is your current curriculum, and do you need to seek resources? So kind of check in with what you currently have and make a list of what you might need. And finally, which standards do you need to review? So are there any that you just would like to run this comparative analysis where you're like, oh, I was just teaching kids to cite evidence. I think I need to actually see what it says. Then make a list of yourself for yourself of which standards might need some comparative review. For our action today, choose based on your reflection. You could use the mind management technique to confront any negative thoughts about certain standards or your ability to teach them. You could find aligned standards materials or do comparative analysis on whichever standards you would like to understand better.